Okay. Shavuot Tov. Agudvach. Welcome back after the Yom Tovim. Everybody's now re-energized and time to get back into where we were in Tefillah. Specifically, we're continuing learning about the connection over here. The main focus of today will be the connection of Torah and Tefillah with a new twist, or new angle, I should say. So, in the old edition, we're on page Chaf Dalet. We have like two lines left to, it's like its own little sentence that we didn't see yet, but it's before the section that starts Torah Tefillah. What is it in the new edition? Yeah, at the end of page Yud Ches. I think actually in the pages that I sent out, this sentence I did not send. So just listen to it Baal Peh. But the main focus will be on the on the next page, starting Torah Tefillah, which was on Yud Tes. So the sentence that we did not see last time, well, we read now. Hamachshavot ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. The thoughts in avodas Hashem Yisbarach. Va'es'oirus l'goydel re'memusoi shebeshas ha'tefillah. And the stirring, the his iris, the awakening that a person feels to the greatness of Hashem's exaltedness at the time of tefillah, hein nitzotze orot hamofiim al yedei hatefillah. They are sparks of lights, or flickering of lights that appear through tefillah. So it's actually a very interesting idea, which. I never thought about it until I saw it. I saw it many years ago, but you know, very often a person gets a tremendous hisiris during davening, which he does not feel at other times, and you kind of think naturally. You think, okay, you're getting into davening. You know, you start to really feel the greatness of Hashem. You feel certain connection. You feel a general hisiris, and. It usually wears off relatively quick after davening. But it's these feelings, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, and these thoughts that the person has during tefillah are not just stam, if you want to call it natural outcome of tefillah in the regular sense, but they are actually nitzotzei oiros. That appear to a person through tefillah, which if I would use a different terminology, they're like, we call it like a small kind of prophecy, you know, not prophecy in the sense of the regular word, but a certain like aspect of Ruach HaKodesh, something coming from above. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down to us through tefillah. That gives a special meaning to those feelings. Those aren't just natural thoughts that a person has based on his, getting into davening or focusing on davening. It's much more than that. These are actual, nitzotzei oiros, like flashes of light, so to say, that a person connects to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down to the person through tefillah. So that's a very special, in a certain sense, very often a person will ask himself or another person will ask I speak to Hashem but I don't hear Hashem speaking to me. No, actually those thoughts, when a person has a hisiris during davening, that is Hashem hearing him speak back to the person. That feeling that you can't usually get in normal waking time, you might be even when learning a sefer, learning musr or whatever, you don't necessarily get that same strength, that same power of connection that you get during tefillah. And that's kind of Hashem speaking back to you, Hashem sending back down messages, closeness, hugging you.
So if someone is a natural Baal Regesh and they automatically connect to davening, can they conclude that they're more spiritually in tune and they're getting more downloads from Hashem simply because that's their temperament?
Okay, that's a very good question. Is it, just in case somebody didn't hear that, he's asking that, some people are more naturally emotional and therefore he's able to get more emotional during davening. Does that mean that the person is naturally more spiritual? I mean, if I guess in a nutshell, does being more emotionally inclined mean that a person is more spiritually inclined?
Perhaps. I don't know.
It's not just a matter of, Rav Yaakov Moshe's lashon over here includes two things. It's the thoughts that a person has in Avodas Hashem, and the hisoiris, right, which is the awakening, the stirring that he has. I would say that kind of, he includes here the two planes on which we connect to Hashem, the intellectual, which is the thoughts, and the emotional, which is the stirrings that we have, which is usually a reference to the emotional stirrings that we have. So there are some people that will connect Hashem on a more intellectual plane, and there are some people that will connect Hashem on a more emotional plane. I don't think that it means necessarily that one is more spiritual than the other. They're just separate conduits or different conduits through which we can connect Hashem, and different people have different consistencies within them, and actually it's very important. I once told a Breslov Chassid, Breslov Chassidim believe that the whole world will eventually become Breslov. I mean, that's their, no, I'm not joking, that's their chazon ha-yamin, the chazon ha-geula, their vision of geula, it means, it includes, that everyone will become a follower of Rav Nachman. It's a davar pashut, it's simple to them, that's not even a question. So I told this chassid that I was kind of dragged into a conversation with, I said that, I don't remember, he actually said something to the effect like, anybody that like just tastes a little bit of Breslov is going to realize, open up, and that's what people are missing. I told him it's not, I disagree. There's another chassid that's just, for the contrast of it, I told him this, right? Chabad. Now, Chabad is an intellectually based Hasidus. That's why it's called Chabad, Chochma Bina Das. Right? Lubavitch's focus is in connecting to Hashem on an intellectual plane. And I think it's very, and Breslov is more the Midas HaYisod, right? Rav Nachman is always the one that dealt with the Midah of fixing up the Pagam HaBris, which is, according to Hasidus, that's the, not just Hasidus, Alpi Kabbalah, the Inyan of the Yesod, is the Hiskashrus, is the tremendous, bond that a person can have with Hashem, and that's more emotionally connected, more emotionally based. And so I think that those two strands, are just the contrast, there are obviously many, many other Hasidias, and there's other sections of Klal Yisrael, sectors of Klal Yisrael. We're not getting into all of them, right? If you pair up the, in general, the Misnagdim versus the Hasidim, so you would probably say it's like intellectual versus emotional in general. You can fragment this story up into many different pieces. But in general, I said to him, there are some people that the emotional talk is just not going to grab them. It's the intellectual talk that will grab them and connect them to Hashem. And there are other people that the opposite is true. The intellectual explanations or whatever, it just doesn't cut it. But you give them something to, if you can stir them emotionally, then they'll be very, very connected. So I don't think that it's I don't think it's a dafka and the story of emotional connection. It can be a very intense intellectual clarity that a person has during Shemot Esrei, which would also be, but it's a good question because it helped us clarify that point, which is important to be made, and I would say a diuk in Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's words over here. Okay, obviously, just to add to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to serve him on both planes. He wants us to be both intellectually and emotionally connected, and that really comes through in the Pasuk, V'yadata Hayoyim, you should know Hashem today. So that's knowing Hashem is das. That's a level of machshava, at this, and we know, of course, das is also, we just had in Parshas Bereishis, v'adam yada dava, is the lashon of chibur, and the lashon of attachment. So we attach ourselves to another through das, on an intellectual plane. And on the other hand, we also attach ourselves, after we attach ourselves to Hashem on an intellectual plane, that's not enough. He wants us to bring it down into the emotions of a person. Vashivoisa elavavecha, that it should settle down into your heart, and you should become emotionally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So again, it's interesting, when we just passed Rosh Hashanah. So there's a famous Arizal that says, or in the name of the Arizal, that anyone that doesn't cry on Rosh Hashanah, it's a sign that his neshama is not healthy. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, maybe in the Yom Nerum, it's a sign that his neshama is not healthy. That's a very scary thing, especially for many of us Litvaks. I don't include myself in that category, but there are, you know, I've been to Levayas, you know, where the son, and sometimes it's great Rabbanim, and sometimes, you know, not all, yesh v'yesh, there's no kolam in this, yeah, but there is a certain strand, right, of real Litvaks that are trained, I would say, I think it's partly training, you know, to be reserved and hold back your emotions. And I don't know, it's inside, but it stays inside, you know. And okay, I don't want to get in, I'm not going to psychoanalyze now the society, but the point is, you see, the son giving a hesped at his father's levaya, and he looks like he's just giving a speech somewhere, no emotion whatsoever. And so why am I saying this? It's very interesting, because the chemdes yamim, who's considered Migurei HaRizal, some of the sources of some things of HaRizal that we have only come through that Sefer, the Chemdes Yom adds a very, very important addition to that Lashon of the HaRizal. Imbalbechi hu. He says, if the person is somebody who's prone to crying, normally, when he gets stirred, he cries, and he doesn't cry on Rosh Hashanah, then it's a sign that his soul is not healthy, his neshama is not healthy. That's very telling. In other words, there are some people that are not bali bechi. They don't cry. They just don't cry, even when things are sad and whatever. That's just not the way. They don't express it like that. So on somebody like that, in a chanami, if he doesn't cry on Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't have to worry. His family doesn't have to worry either. Okay. Next piece, Torah Tefillah. So this is on page Yotas, is that right? On the new edition. Chaf Dalet in the old edition. So he brings the pasuk that we've seen already. Mesir ozno mishma Torah. Person who removes his ear from hearing Torah, gam tefillah soto eva, so his tefillah is also an abomination. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe asks a very simple question. What would be lacking in the pasuk if the pasuk would just say simply, somebody who doesn't learn Torah? What's this fancy language of a person who removes his ear from hearing Torah? Just say, that person doesn't learn Torah. And also, what is the connection at all between Torah and Tefillah, ad shetikareya Tefillah to'eva, to the point that the Tefillah is going to be called an abomination if the person is not listening to Torah? So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, Kedarke b'kodesh, he's going to give us a big yisoid. I hope we'll be able to complete it today. I'm not sure if we will. Mi sheyesh lo chushim, ubiyichud otam sheyesh lam chush mufutach b'myuchad. Anybody that has senses, okay, senses as in the sense of smell, sense of sight, hearing, or whatever, right? Especially, he says, someone who has a specifically developed sense. Okay, he's got very sharp hearing or very sharp vision, yeah? Kol ma'ayanam bechush hazeh. So all their focus is in this chush, is in this sense. Ki mao musak chush. What is the concept of a sense, of a chush? Have omer atzmiut mehuto shel adam. I would say that it's the essence, it's the very essence of a person. Kimo shekol chay doresh achar chayim. The same way every living being is always looking after life, is seeking out life. Kach gam ba lachush doresh achar chusho. So too, the person who has a sense is always investigating, is always looking after his sense. Ve'lo od, not only that. Ela mikol ma shepogesh im b'misharim o ba'akifin. Anything that he meets up with, whether it's directly or whether it's indirectly. Chozer o makshivu et achush shelo. He's going back and listening to his sense. And I don't think it means only a sense. He doesn't mean just sense of the five senses. Yeah, he's using five senses as the basics. But you know, then there's other things. A person might have a spiritual sense. A person might have a emotional sense. Whatever it is, right? There are other types of what we would call chushim, senses. So if a person has a specifically, if he has a very developed one, then he's going to always use that sense in intake of the world. Everything he sees in the world, everything he comes to in the world, is going to be viewed through the channel of that sense. Ve'kol kach lama, and why is that? Mipnei shebe'emet atzmiutam shel kli chushav hema oto chush miuchad shelo. Because the essence, or the very essence of the vessels of his senses, those are the special, his special chush, that's his special vehicle, if you want to call it. And just as a person doesn't see without eyes, and he can't hear without ears, so too he will not feel this thing without this chush, without this sense. He won't sense it without the sense. Ve'omnam yeshe techalesh al hagashato zu, ve'ima techalesh tshukat hachayim. However, there are times, or people, or circumstances, where this feeling will become weakened, and together with that weakening, the yearning of life becomes weakened. Okay, so let's just try to like recap a little bit, or try to understand a little bit what he's saying. Like, basically, you know, like we said, our chushim, this is actually very interesting, because he starts off with a very like I would say a whopping statement, you know, like the senses of a person are the essence of a person. I would not present things like that. Yeah, I don't know. Normally, I think we would say that the senses of a person are the vessels of a person, but we wouldn't necessarily define the person's essence based on those vessels. But after thinking about what he's saying, I think that there is some, you know, that I understand where he's coming from and understand what he's trying to say. Really, what he's saying is, it's kind of like what science has, you know, dealt with a lot, is that the metzius, okay, the hard existence of the world, right, is really just based on the eye of the observer. The eye of the observer is what gives reality to existence. I'm not getting into this whole thing, but that's like the whole thing behind the question that, you know, is out there. If the tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it, does it make a noise? Right? That's the concept. Okay, I'm not going to get into yes, no, what it means, etc. But this is a very big yesod that a lot of science, the scientific world, really holds it very strongly, and it has a lot of Kabbalistic basis as well. Is that the reality is defined by man's observation of the reality. So that, yes, two people can actually live different realities. I'll tell you something amazing. Just like first, a little bit of a mashal. I'll start from one thing that might have been experienced by more people. I had corona, as many others have. Baruch Hashem, got better from it. But my sense of smell has been changed ever since. It's more than half a year. There are certain smells. that are completely, completely different than they were before. And I realize that means, right, that it could be that other people smell things differently than I. I mean, if I myself can now have a different smell, sense of smell than I had once before, then it's very likely that when somebody else smells the same thing that I'm smelling, we're actually not experiencing the same experience. You know, and that's, I mean, look, it could be sometimes, we'll take hearing, for example, right? Obviously, some people have better hearing than others. So for one person, a noise can be especially abrasive or especially annoying. Another person, maybe it will be less. Because perhaps we're not really hearing the same thing, because we have different sense of hearing. I'll tell you another amazing chop. Besides Corona, I was zeicha this past year, to need a cataract surgery in one of my eyes. Now, only one and not the other. Now, even today, I realize that the eye that I had the lens replaced, whatever, that's what goes on in the cornea surgery, right? That eye is a different, it sees things in a different color than the natural eye. So that one eye, if I'll give you the way it looks, is like looks like fluorescent light, and the other eye, the natural eye, looks like incandescent light. First I was like, what the heck is going on over here? Like, oh boy. You know, I asked the surgeon about it. He said, yeah, well, this is new. It doesn't have, you know, like, it's not coated with any, I guess, years, you know. The other one's, you know, decades of build up on it. I know, whatever. But that was also, to me, is an amazing thing. It means that, like, you know, you think that the world looks like a certain color. Well, I don't know. Right now, I have two eyes that see the world in a very different color. Perhaps you and I don't see the same color. Okay, so I'm just giving a mashal, right, to help realize how much our experience of the world defines the world that we live in. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying over here, is that when we, our senses really, I mean, he's probably coming from even a deeper point, is, you know, if you have somebody who has a certain chush, a certain sense, if whether it's a sense of spirituality, a sense of emotion, a sense of whatever it is, like, that's stemming, that's an outgrowth of his essence. And the same thing would be true of vision and hearing, etc. They're very likely, you know, now through averis or whatever, is they could be affected, you know, negatively, etc. But maybe also positively, if a person's mitzvahs, etc., right? He rifus l'sharecha, the Torah acts as a cure to the physical body. But in any case, what he ends off with is that when the feeling of that sense is weakened, so actually the tshuka sachayim is weakened. Because our chushim, our ability to connect, to perceive the world, is our appreciation of life. And if that's harmed, our appreciation of life is also harmed, and our yearning for life is harmed, and lowered and weakened. Chalila. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, this is all the lead up to explain this. Kach v'gam yoter tzricha liyot hitkashruteinu b'torotenu haktosha. Like this, and even more so, needs to be our binding to our holy Torah. Hanitenet lanu mipi keil chai, that's given to us from the mouth of the living God. Ki hi chayenu, because the Torah is our life. I think it was Rabbi Aaron Cutler, but I don't remember if it was him or a different gadol that pointed out that it's incorrect to say that Torah is our oxygen. No, oxygen is just a thing that you need to live. No, Torah is our life. In such a way that it needs to be that everything we see and hear, we should only know Torah-dika life. That's a very important thing. And we'll see, he's going to go into it more at the end over here. The Torah for us needs to be The only way we see the world, the only way we experience the world, or at least that has to be our goal. Our goal has to be that everything that goes on in life, we see in a Torah-dika way. We see as having to do with the Torah, as having being a part of the Torah, part of the Torah's demands, responsibility, whatever it is. We see it in a Torah-dika oifen, in a Torah-dika way. Aleinu ledat, we need to know, shekol sheyesh lo magash shivui lakol, anything that has an equal is equal to everyone, okay? Liyisrael l'umas ha'olam, to the Jewish people and to the non-Jews. Einenu apmi yoter, ki matafel v'chitzoni, is not the inner, the more inner aspect, it's only something which is external and secondary. Okay, for example, Goyim also see, they also breathe, they also think, they also, right, they also have the five senses. So we have that in common with them. That means that all these things are just secondary, more external aspects. The five senses are external aspects. There's something deeper. Yediat chaye achayim atoriyim hi yediat hityachdudam shel Yisrael. The knowledge of the life of Torah-dika life, that is knowing that, knowing the chaye achayim atoriyim, the Torah-dika life, that is knowing the individualism of the Jewish people, the specialty of the Jewish people, their designated specialty. That's what defines us. That's what shows our inner aspect. Hatfila ba lavi al shlemut asher ein sofla lidavek b'chei ha'olamim abilti gvuli. The davening comes to bring a person to the shlemus, to the perfection, to the wholesomeness, that the ein asher ein sofla, which doesn't have any end, shlemus is, you know, it's infinite. You could just get more shlemus, more shlemus, more shlemus. To attach ourselves to the cheho elamim, to the source of life for all the worlds, the unlimited, the infinite one, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the tefillah comes to bring to that shlemus of attaching to the cheho elamim, to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the infinite one. Niskov mikol niskov, it sofon mikol sofon, was exalted from all exaltedness and hidden from all hiddenness. Im tia magamal l'shem ezein yachel, if the aim of the tefillah will be for any other purpose, for any other inyan, yeah, ezashia, it doesn't matter what it may be. Hare enomo il klum, it doesn't help at all. Ki bal mal chisrono bedavar shel bal chisron acher. I don't fully understand these words. It comes, if anyone has a, you know, can explain it well to me, I'd be happy. But he says that the reason it won't help is because you're coming to fill, now I'm not even sure what the translation here, the way I think it is it's coming to fill the lack, his personal lacking, with something of another bal chisaron, of another thing that's, so I don't know what bal chisaron, is that referring to a thing that's lacking, to another person that's lacking? I'm not sure here to understand this. My problem is that if it's saying that, you know, okay, listen, I'm davening for money, so where does the money come from? It's from somebody else. So I'm taking from one person and making him a lacking. So what did I? It's not really helping. You know, somebody's still lacking. I don't know if that's pshat, but or is he saying that you know, anything that we daven for is something which is also inherently lacking? What about health? I don't know. Is health inherent? I'm not clear on what he's saying over here. In these words,
he is very clear in the next line.
Can you make a suggestion?
Yes, absolutely.
It sounded to me like he's contrasting. The beginning of the paragraph is saying that the tefillah has to be in order to attach oneself to the bilti gvuli, the shlemus.
Right.
So then he says, if the tefillah is for any other purpose, meaning, let's say, to attach or to seek something else that's alternative to the Mekar HaShleimus, so then he's essentially trying to complete himself with that which is inherently lacking. And then that's...
So if he's trying to... In other words, obviously we're not talking about somebody that's davening to Avodah Zarah, but like if he's davening for another purpose, like...
Yeah.
like
materialistic
shalai lishma. Shalai lishma. So any other thing? Okay, that sounds good. That sounds like a correct correct pirush over here. In other words, what's that?
Could it be tefillah is about the chesaron of Hashem, chesaron of kavod shemaim?
Yeah.
Using Hashem's lack of kavod shemaim as a tool to fulfill his own needs.
Doesn't look like that's what he's saying though. There's like not, he's not touching. He doesn't say anything about that issue though. So it's just to recap on what Avi said is that if you're davening for anything else, so that thing is inherently lacking. Anything that a person could daven for other than connecting to the infinite one, so automatically is a bal chisaron. All physicality is called really bal chisaron. So even health in that sense is a bal chisaron because it's limited. It's not infinite. I think that sounds right as a perush of what he's saying. Okay, shkoyach. So then the last line, now what happens then is, if he's davening for another person rather than just connecting to Hashem, his tefillah turns into a ro'etz, something that's like damaging to him, v'to'eva, and an abomination, ki ovedet atzmo, because he's serving himself, v'lo es Hashem chas v'shalom, and he's not serving Hashem. If the focus of your tefillah is for you, then you've just missed the boat. What's tefillah? La'avod es Hashem, is to serve Hashem. So if Hashem is not, connecting to Hashem is not your focus, that tefillah is disgusting. You're using tefillah for your own purposes rather than davening for Hashem. Now, omnam, however, al yedameh sha'al nekaleh efshar la'asig zot. Don't imagine that it's easy to get this level. Don't imagine that it's easy to get this. The truth is that the difference in picturing this aim is very, very subtle. Yesh tshuka v'yesh ta'ava. There is a yearning called tshuka, but there's lust. There's ta'ava. What's the difference? Ha'tshuka hi l'mash l'mala. Yearning is for something that is above. L'itromem v'litabek be'echad. Is to become raised up and to attach to the one, Hashem. V'ta'avai l'mash l'mata, and lust is to what's below. L'vakesh nifrad, to seek out the separated, right? That's the lashon of the pasuk. Ta'ava l'vakesh nifrad. Okay, it's so ta'ava, lust, brings you into separation. It's wanting something that's separate. Im yesh toch gadol b'neshama, if there's a big toch, a big inside in the neshama, big content in the neshama, mit'aleh itztayru t'tshukat ha'tov. So then the picture and the yearning for the good becomes elevated. Mashek en kerim ha'toch hu merupal. If the content of the neshama is cloudy, is unclear, nofelet ha'itztayru t'shel magmat avadat Hashem shelo b'reshut ha'tava. The picturing of this goal of Avodas Hashem, the persons of Avodas Hashem, falls into the trap of lust. It all has to do with what's in your neshama. What's your neshama dealing with? Do you have a clear picture of things? If you have a clear picture of things, of what the good really is, then that's what you're aimed for, and that's what you're going to end up davening, being able to daven for Hashem, Hashem Echad. But if you're just neshama, what you're dealing with, the way you live your life, is one that's down here, is one that it's cloudy, the whole idea of Hashem, the whole idea of your connection with Hashem. If things are cloudy, then it's going to be very difficult for you to order your avodas Hashem differently. Zeo, this is what it means, kol ha'mesiras no mishma Torah. Anybody that removes his ear from hearing Torah, afa pishu lai lomed, even though he could be, he's learning. This is so important. But if he removes his ear from developing inside of him the chush of the Torah, the sense of the Torah, to the point that everything he's going to hear is always only Torah, until a person is willing to give himself over, that his life should become a Torah-dic life. He could be learning a full day. He could be learning 3-star and 4-star and 5-star a day. But if the Torah stays on somewhat of an academic level, if it stays detached, he's not willing to give himself over to the Torah, to learn the Torah that I should see the world like the Torah wants me to, halachically, machshavadik, and in all realms. If that's not the way you're learning, you're not listening to the Torah. Listening, we know from the Rishonim, Shmiah is lekabel, not just to learn, to know, but to receive it into you. If you're not doing that, you remove your ear from hearing the Torah, you're learning it, but you're not interested to penetrate your life, then that tefillah is going to be a te'eva. The tefillah of this person is going to be a te'eva. Why? Like he says, call it the tefillah shikur te'eva shemechavenet l'sipuk atzmo. Like the tefillah of a drunk person, which is a te'eva. It's an abomination. Why? Because he's just intending to satisfy himself. All the pictures of the tefillah become turned to for his personal goals and aims. I don't know where that's from. I didn't have a chance to look it up. It's possible to daven and to use the staff of the king for his own personal goals. But the closeness of Hashem he will attain the more he attaches to the Torah of Hashem, the Shmo Yisborach. This is what separates us from all the nations. I guess all the nations, he's saying, you know, they don't daven. They don't have this idea of Avodas Hashem that we have. But in any case, what he's saying is that if you, for a person to daven, the person needs to be davening l'shem Hashem, l'shem for the purpose of attaching himself to Hashem. And the only way to do that is by becoming a Torah Dika person, that your life is going to be a Torah Dika life. And if you remove your ear from hearing Torah, you might be learning. But learning's not, it's not about learning. It's not about learning. A guy that only has an hour a day to learn, but he's listening to the Torah, that guy's tefillah is going to be much darker than the guy who's learning 3 star a day, 4 star a day, 15 hours a day, but he's learning in a way that he's not really listening to what the Torah is saying to him. So this is something which is very important for us, especially starting the new year, is that we should allow the Torah to penetrate us, Bez Hashem, to become focused on that everything we see, current events, things that take place in the shul, politics, everything, is not. It's all should become Chaim Torim. How does the Torah see this? What does the Torah want me to do in these circumstances? And then when a person lives like that, all he hears all the time, that's the sense. That's his tzinor. That's his experience of the world is just all the time Torah. It's all family life. It's all part of Torah. Helping the wife, helping the kids, helping. That's all. There's no. It's very beautiful because it comes out. There's no bit of Torah in that kind of a life. The whole life is just a matter of Torah. Okay, Shavua Tov. Any questions? We have. All right. Say Shavua Tov to everyone.
I have a question.